A young director stands on a New York soundstage, watching Katharine Hepburn transform into a morphine-addicted mother. The crew has spent weeks planning every camera angle, every lighting cue, every costume detail. But none of that matters if this moment, this take, doesn't capture something true. Sidney Lumet understood what many filmmakers forget. Movies aren't made with equipment or budgets. They're made with choices. Every decision, from the width of a lens to the color of a dress, either serves the story's emotional truth or betrays it. This is why his work on films like 12 Angry Men and Dog Day Afternoon continues to resonate, not because of technical brilliance, but because every creative choice pointed toward the same North Star. What is this movie really about? Before a single frame is shot, one question must be answered. What is this movie about emotionally? Not the plot. Anyone can summarize a story. The real question cuts deeper. Murder on the Orient Express wasn't about solving a murder. It was about nostalgia for a glamorous world that perhaps never existed. That realization shaped everything. The all-star cast, the romantic lighting, the rich production design. When every department works from the same emotional blueprint, magic happens. This decision happens instinctively, often on a single read. Material arrives from everywhere: studios, writers, agents, sometimes just the desire to solve a creative puzzle. The reasons for accepting projects vary wildly. Sometimes it's magnificent material. Other times it's overcoming a personal limitation, like learning to work in color. Some films are made for money. Others simply because the work itself brings joy. The auteur myth credits one person's vision, but filmmaking is collaborative. Weather shifts plans, budgets constrain, actors falter, hundreds contribute expertise. The real skill? Hiring talented people and fostering an environment where everyone makes the same movie. When someone says, "We're all making the same picture," that's the highest compliment, where true joy lives. Style isn't decoration, it's storytelling's fundamental language. After determining emotional meaning, ask, how should this story be told? Every visual choice must serve the narrative's purpose. Camera angles, lighting, costume colors, each decision reinforces or undermines emotional truth. Murder on the Orient Express demanded romantic nostalgia through glamorous casting and heightened reality. Prince of the City required documentary-style cinematography and claustrophobic framing to convey its theme. In a world of secrets, nothing is what it seems. Style and substance became inseparable. The camera shapes narrative through lens choice, movement, and composition. Wide-angle lenses distort space, making objects seem farther apart. Longer lenses compress space, pulling everything closer. These are narrative tools, not just technical choices. In 12 Angry Men, the camera becomes a character. The film begins with wider lenses positioned above eye level, creating spaciousness. As tensions rise, lenses gradually lengthen from 28mm to 100mm, compressing space until the room suffocates. The camera drops lower, revealing more ceiling. Only the final exterior shot uses a wide lens from a high position, letting everyone breathe again. The Hill used progressively wider lenses, even for close-ups, distorting faces while keeping the prison visible in every frame, reinforcing inescapable entrapment. For The Fugitive Kind, specific lenses were assigned to characters. Brando received longer lenses for a softer aura. Anna Magnani gradually shifted from shorter to longer lenses as love softened her. Network required corrupting the camera to match television's corrupting influence. The film started naturalistically, then gradually made lighting more artificial and setups more rigid. By the climactic boardroom scene, everything was lit like a commercial. Costumes profoundly shape performance. When Sean Connery emerged from his fitting declaring, "She's bloody marvelous, she's given me the whole bloody character now," it confirmed everyone was making the same picture. Clothes aren't just fabric, they're identity, status, psychology made visible. For Murder on the Orient Express, costumes created lost glamour over historical accuracy. Betty Bacall wore full-length peach velvet with matching hat and egret feather. Jacqueline Bisset appeared in blue silk with white ermine collar. Nobody boards trains this way, but the goal was transporting viewers to a romantic past that perhaps never existed but felt emotionally true. Prince of the City used visual progression to mirror the protagonist's journey. Early scenes featured busy backgrounds, crowded streets, diploma-covered walls, casually dressed spectators. As the story progressed, everything stripped away, until sets were bare, nothing on walls, empty streets, no spectators. This reinforced the protagonist's increasing isolation as he betrayed one partner after another. Art direction profoundly affects performance. When Katharine Hepburn entered the Long Day's Journey into Night's set, she immediately asked which chair was hers, noting each person develops fondness for their own. Period magazines and knitting were already placed beside her rocker. When the physical world feels real, emotional truth follows naturally. The call sheet transforms months of preparation into reality, detailing crew times, scenes, actors, props, and extras. Proper handling of extras creates authenticity. For Dog Day Afternoon, over 500 extras appeared daily for 3 weeks. Each received specific character backgrounds, 16 yentas with personal histories, teenagers playing hooky, truck drivers positioned to start fights. After explaining their roles for over an hour from atop a ladder, they reacted naturally without direction by the second week. During takes, total immersion is essential. Positioned close to the lens, saying lines internally, sensing movements, feeling emotions alongside actors, if concentration breaks, another take is needed. For demanding scenes, creating the right conditions helps actors reach their deepest potential. On Dog Day Afternoon, Al Pacino needed 2 phone calls in 1 continuous take, running nearly 15 minutes, beyond the camera's 11-minute capacity. 2 identical cameras with matching lenses rolled sequentially with real phone connections so Pacino could hear off-camera actors. The set was cleared and blocked with black flats, hiding camera operators in a black tent. After the first extraordinary take, an immediate call for another came despite Pacino's exhaustion. By the second take's end, tears streamed down both our faces before he collapsed, creating some of the best film acting ever captured. The cutting room's silence contrasts sharply with production's chaos. While a single shot sometimes captures everything, like the train leaving Istanbul and Murder on the Orient Express, real power comes from juxtaposition. For The Pawnbroker, a groundbreaking technique showed memory intrusion through 2-frame cuts, gradually replacing subway frames with railway car frames. Within a year, television commercials widely adopted this approach. Editing tempo is critical. Every splice changes point of view, like beats of a visual metronome. Fast tempo creates energy, but maintaining the same pace makes a film feel slower. 12 Angry Men accelerated throughout, using 387 setups with over half in the final 30 minutes. For Long Day's Journey into Night, sustained legato takes conveyed Hepburn's narcotized world, while staccato editing made Robards feel erratic. The cutting room transforms problematic scenes. In Daniel, 2 hospital scenes weren't working until rebalancing to highlight the sister's pain gave both emotional power. Editing decisions ripple throughout. Changes in Reel 2 affect Reel 10. The first complete screening reveals whether the film works emotionally. Movies exist at the intersection of art and commerce, a tension that never resolves. After months of control, handing a film to studio executives creates enormous anxiety. They screen it first, with rigid hierarchy. The studio head speaks, followed by comments traveling down the chain with remarkable unanimity. Nothing is decided until the audience preview. Preview audiences are recruited from shopping malls. After screening, a focus group discusses reactions. When asked what they didn't like, a feeding frenzy ensues. Studio executives treat isolated criticisms as consensus, yet there's rarely correlation between preview numbers and financial success. After making the hill, devastation came from seeing the distributor create an idiotic ad featuring Sean Connery with a belly dancer thought balloon and the nonsensical tagline, "Eat it, mister." Exhausted from fighting for every aspect, only to see it undermined by marketing. Movies remained uniquely compelling as the only art form using people to record something larger than life. The job is caring about every frame. That's the real legacy, not box office or awards, but commitment to emotional truth. When you sit in a darkened theater and feel something genuine, when a story reaches inside and changes how you see the world, that's when all the struggles justify themselves.